John's Gospel, chapter 1. It's interesting and intentional. God the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything unintentionally. When the Spirit of God moved in John's heart to write the Word of God, he began his gospel the same way Genesis chapter 1 begins. In the beginning. Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he goes on to describe the rest of creation. God created everything that there is. And God created everything that there is out of nothing. It's inconceivable to us, but before God created, there was nothing. Nothing but God himself. And from nothing, God created all that there is. And so John, in describing to you and us the Word of God about Jesus Christ, we call them Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But we wrongly, it's not the Gospel of Matthew, it's the Gospel of Jesus Christ as God moved in Matthew to write down. And the Gospel according to Mark, or the Gospel of Jesus Christ, given through the hands of Mark and Luke, and then the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, given to you and I by John. And he begins writing by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Let's pray. Father, God, I thank you so much as you begin to tell us about Jesus. And that, Father, every week when we study, we're just learning more about Jesus. I thank you, God, that when you begin telling us about Jesus, you start with the most awesome, amazing, majestic part of who he is. Thank you, God, for starting at the top. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The Gospel of John is written to you and I for a purpose. I want you to skip with me over to John chapter 20 just for a second, or if you'll just listen as I read in the 20th chapter of John, he tells us the reason for writing the Gospel of John. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 30 and then verse 31. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. John is saying, I didn't write everything that Jesus did in the gospel. I didn't tell you all that he did. I didn't tell you anything like all that he did. In fact, if John had written everything that Jesus did while he was on earth, those songwriters said, if the ocean were filled and it was ink, and all of the feathers on the world were quills, and the sky would not contain the things that were written about Jesus Christ. Now, I love that. Man, it would drain the ocean dry to just tell of who Jesus is. And yet not telling everything, just some of the miraculous wonders of Jesus Christ, John said, I've written these things, verse 31, but these things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Folks, I want you to know, I just think one of the most wonderful things any of you could do would be give a copy of the Gospel of John to unbelievers and ask them to read the Gospel of John. Now, they need to read the Word of God, and you need to read the Word of God, and you ought to read the Gospel of John. And by preaching chapter by chapter, verse by verse through the Gospel of John, it gives you plenty of opportunity every week to read ahead and to read the Gospel of John. And that the more you read the Gospel of John and the more the Holy Spirit speaks to you, the more real your life in Jesus Christ is going to become. And there is enough written in the Gospel of John for you to give an unbeliever. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and the reading the Gospel of John, God can give brand new life to anybody that he wills. Amen. So give out the Gospel of John. If someone already has the Gospel of John, get them to read it. Pray the Holy Spirit of God will speak to them through it and they'll have new life in Jesus. But so, God having told us that the Gospel of John was written that we might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that believing we could have life. And so I want you to understand that the Gospel of John was written for unbelievers just as much as the Gospel of John was written to us who are believers. It was not written for one or the other. It was written for both. Because the Gospel of John with the Holy Spirit of God is capable of convicting and converting and saving anybody that the Holy Spirit of God draws. Amen? And the Gospel according to John is able to encourage those of us who are really saved to keep our faith in Jesus Christ. It's the work of God in us. John chapter 15, verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Now, there are some that believe that John 15 refers to a person that was saved at one time and by failures in their own life, that they quit abiding in Christ, and because of their sin, they lost their salvation. I think that's wrong. But I think it is right that those who do not abide in Christ, those who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, those who at some point in the past made a decision or had some kind of an experience, and yet today they don't abide in Christ, today they don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it is true that one of these days they're going to be gathered up into bundles and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. It's not the same thing. But it is a warning to people that think they are going to go to heaven when they die, even though they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ now. I don't think someone loses their salvation. I think they never had a real salvation. John 8:31 says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Now, if you abide in my word. But John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. So what is he talking about? If you abide in my word, then you really are my disciples. If you're abiding in Jesus, Oh, my friend, we need to abide in the Word of God. We need to read the Word of God and study the Word of God and drink the Word of God and live the Word of God. But I want you to know, my friend, the Word that the Bible is describing as John is Jesus, abiding in Christ. Now, the Bible is teaching that there are a lot of pretenders in the world. I don't believe that everybody that thinks they're going to heaven that really aren't are pretending. I believe there are some that are realistically deceived. They're not pretending to be something they're not. They're deceived into thinking they're something they're not. And yes, Satan may have deceived them, or their flesh itself may have deceived themselves. I think more people are deceived by themselves than they're deceived by Satan himself. The end result's the same. But whether or not you're pretending or you're deceived, the end result is still terrible. To think, to live your life thinking that when you die, you're going to go into the kingdom of heaven. And instead, when you die, to depart from Him into everlasting hellfire would be the most awful deception that is ever known. And nothing could be worse than that. So, the Word of God. Amen? So God gives us the Word of God. God has given us the Word of God so that we won't be deceived, so that we won't be fooled, so that we won't pretend, so that we can really have a relationship with God and have eternal life. Amen? And so, wow. Read the Gospel of John. If you have questions, if you have problems, you can feel free to come to me. Feel free to talk to me. I don't know everything, but I can tell you a lot. And if I don't know, I'll make up something. No. No, if I don't know, I'll tell you. Now, let's just look at this amazing, unbelievable text. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That seems a little difficult, doesn't it? Well, folks, God is difficult. Amen? God is God. You know, there are a lot of things I can explain, but I'm going to tell you, I can't explain God. I can tell you what God has told us about Himself. But I'm going to tell you, God hasn't revealed to us everything about Himself. God revealed Himself as the Trinity, amen? But God didn't go to a whole lot to explain the Trinity because, my friend, it is just too much for us, really. And, you know, everybody's always trying to, you know, explain the Trinity. I mean, some people will take an egg and try to explain God. Can you imagine that? That is so silly. Folks, God is God, and He is beyond explanation. However, He has told us a lot, so let's just look at what God has told us. Now, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The word translated Word is the word logos. It's the word from which we get our word logic. Though I don't want you to think in human logic, but I want you to understand something. The Lord Jesus Christ is who God is. Jesus is God. And so in a minute I'm going to explain to you why He used the word, a short explanation of why God uses the word Word to describe Jesus. But let me just wait just a minute. In the beginning was the Word. Folks, unmistakably, He's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was with him and he was him. And we're going to look at the Trinity a little bit. But the Word with God and the Word was God is clearly, unmistakably, a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, when John introduces us to Jesus, John already knows. I mean, what John has already learned of Jesus is in the past. John has seen Jesus. John has handled Jesus. John has rested his head on Jesus' shoulder. John was there when Jesus was being crucified. John was there when Jesus said about his mother, John, behold thy mother. I mean, John knew Jesus as well as anybody knew Jesus. And then John says in verse 14 of the text, just a little bit, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word that was with God and the Word that was God is Jesus. And so John, knowing all of the things you can read about the woman at the well, you know, at the miracle, at the wedding in the Cana of Galilee, of the feeding of the 5,000. John, when he's thinking, I'm fixing to tell all these wonderful, amazing things about Jesus, and I'm going to tell about Jesus dying upon the cross and paying for our sins and rising from the dead. And I'm going to tell all of these things about Jesus. But where I want to start is I want you to understand from the very beginning who Jesus is. Jesus is God, the creator of everything that was created. And so the person that is going to take upon himself human flesh, the person that is going to be born in a manger, who's going to live a sinless life, who's going to die a sacrificial death, who's going to be raised again from the dead, is not just a person. He is God, the Son. And so John starts with this biggest, amazing, most wonderful statement of who Jesus is. Folks, you and I need to start our worship services. You and I need to start our morning. You and I need to continue our day remembering that Jesus is not just someone. And Jesus is not just a great person. And Jesus is not what any of the other cults say about Jesus. Jesus is God, our Creator. Jesus is the one that created life in all of its forms and all that there is. And John wants you and I to know as we study the book of John that we could just sit in awe and wonder and think of who Jesus is. And so John intends for you and I to read every word about Jesus in all of the chapters that follow, amazed at who he's talking about. When you read about Jesus as a little child, do you remember the story when Jesus was like 12 years old and he was in the temple and Jesus was talking to the doctors of the law? And they were amazed at his knowledge. Do you remember what Jesus told those guys? I have to be about my Father's business. He was talking about God the Father. Not his earthly Father, but his heavenly Father. God the Father, who is also revealed as God the Son. And Jesus had a reason for coming. And my friend, that 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 great work of Jesus Christ was not done by someone. It was done by God. Now, so he uses the word, word. In the beginning was the word. Logos, the communication. When God wanted to communicate himself to men, when God wanted to reveal who he was to men. You know, the Bible says that God in times past, in the Old Testament, God revealed himself to us through prophets, right? Y'all shake your head this way. God revealed a lot about himself through the prophets. Do you remember that Isaiah said about Jesus, he's wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. You remember? Isaiah was revealing to us who Jesus was. Isaiah was giving us a picture of God. The prophets did that. They gave us picture after picture after picture of God. The Old Testament sacrificial system. When they slayed a lamb, that lamb never took away anybody's sins. The blood of the lamb never canceled anybody's sins permanently. But it was a revelation of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world, who would cancel our sin. But God revealed to us God through the sacrificial system. y'all understand that, right? But when God really wanted you to know who God was, when God really wanted you to know himself, he sent Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. God became flesh, that you and I could know him, and you and I could see him for who he is and what he is. Do you want to know who God is? Look at Jesus Christ. And that's who God is. Now, when Brother Gary goes fishing and he's pulling in them crappie just, you know, one night after another, and he's just pulling them in. Someone told me that, and I don't know if this is true or not, but someone told me they saw Marvin and Rabbit over there in another boat with binoculars trying to see what he was fishing with. Now, I don't know if that happened. I'm just passing along a rumor, you know. I remember them talking about a couple of other fishermen in our area, and they said there was one guy that used to fish down in the Washita River, and if he was catching fish and you pulled up and started watching him, he'd take his bait off his hook or lay it down so you couldn't see. He didn't want you to see, you know. Sound as bad as a turkey hunter. But someone might just come up to you if you're really catching the fish, and they might say, hey, give me the scoop on how you doing that. You understand? Do you understand the phrase? Someone is able to do something spectacular, and they might say, hey, give me the scoop on that. They're wanting an explanation of something. And I hate to use this, but because your mind may be as weak as mine, I'm going to. When God wanted you to get the scoop on God, he showed you Jesus. You understand that? When God wanted to reveal to you himself, who he is, what he's like, what his essence is, what his nature is, what his love is. When God wanted to show you himself. He didn't use a prophet preaching. He sent Jesus. Because that's who God is. Amen. And so God has revealed to us himself in Jesus. Jesus is the eternal, complete, ultimate, absolute truth of who God is. And Jesus is God who existed before time began. In the beginning, the Word, Jesus, was with God in the beginning, and he was God. Now, you could ask a Mormon to tell you who Jesus is, and he's going to be dishonest, and he's going to try to hide from you differences because he would rather suck you in slowly. But ultimately, Mormons think or tell that Jesus became a God. Okay? That Jesus became a God. And we can become a God. That's the Mormons' view of God, of Jesus. It's a cult. I'm sorry. It is not of God. The Mormon church is a cult. Now, there are many other cults. What makes a religion a cult? If they have a wrong view of Jesus and a wrong view of salvation, it's a cult. If something that calls itself a church, but if they're teaching salvation by works, it's a cult. If it doesn't teach that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, that Jesus Christ was God, is God, always will be God, and the only God, it's a cult. Hindus, they don't mind talking about Jesus because to them, Jesus is a God among 200 million other gods. But my friend, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, in the beginning was God, singular. That Jesus is the only true God. That there's one God, and the only true God is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, friend, God, don't get me wrong, the Trinity's difficult. If someone says the Trinity's not difficult, they're difficult. My friend, God has revealed himself as three persons. God, in the beginning, God created, singular. In the beginning was the Word, singular. One true God revealed in this way, as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Each case singular. God revealed himself as God revealed as the Son, and God revealed as the Father, and God revealed as the Holy Spirit. If I didn't say it exactly like you wanted me to say it, forgive me. It is difficult. But there is one God, and he has revealed himself as the Father and as the Son and the Holy Spirit. Clear, plain, awesome, wonderful, amazing, magnificent. But Jesus is God. And all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Some cults teach that Jesus became a God. Some cults teach that Jesus was one of many gods from who knows when. But some cults teach that God the Father created Jesus. That's a cult too. Because God the Father didn't create Jesus. Jesus is uncreated. When there was nothing, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Let there be," and there was. And He created the earth, and He created the heavens, and He created the universe, and He created all life, and not anything that has ever been created was created apart from the creative power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, when you think about Jesus, God Himself existing in the unexplainable Trinity, that God, the only true God, existing as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, existed forever before creation happened. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had the most amazing, wonderful, beautiful, satisfying relationship forever and ever and ever. God didn't create me and you because God needed us. You know, you have some people there. I mean, they're kind of not very sharp. You ask someone, why did God create man? Well, God needed someone to have fellowship with. God has no needs. I can't explain it. But God was satisfied. Now, friend, there are reasons God created us, but that's not today's sermon. God didn't create us because He needed us. He created us, and He demonstrates His great love. He demonstrates His greatness. He demonstrates His majesty. He demonstrates how that God is so much more than you could imagine or dream or hope or think. And God created us for His own glory. He didn't create you for you. He didn't create the world for you. He didn't create hell for you. He didn't create heaven for you. God created everything for His own glory. And He's worthy of our glory and our praise. But thank God, God makes us acceptable to Him. And God makes us equipped for heaven. God gives us His righteousness, so that you and I can enjoy Him forever. There's nothing greater that God can do than to give you Himself. You're all looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to God. Because He's the one who gave us heaven. Amen? Oh, listen to me, folks. When you think about Jesus, the uncreated God, the creator of life, God in all of His glory and God in all of His majesty, God the Father said to God the Son, "Son, I want you to go and give your life as a payment for their sins." And God the Son said to God the Father, "God the Father, I willingly give my life a ransom for many. I willingly, I gladly offer my body a sacrifice for their sins." And when Jesus carried that cross up that cruel hill called Golgotha, with His beard pulled out of His face, with his clothes stripped from his body, with a whip lashing his side, all, his whole body. That was God going up that hill. The God who created life was giving his life as a payment for our sins. That is amazing grace. And may God the Holy Spirit keep talking to you and me about himself, showing you that Jesus of the Bible is so much more than Jesus of the Hindus. Jesus of the Bible is so much more than Jesus of the Mormons. And Jesus of the Bible is so much more than Jesus of anybody else. My friend, don't go anywhere to worship that doesn't show you Jesus as the creator of everything. God himself who gives his life a ransom for our sins. What a despicable thing to do, to sit in worship with someone who doesn't believe in the God of creation, revealed as the Son who gave his life as a payment for our sins. Aren't you glad you know the truth? Amen. Then worship him. Have a relationship with him. Refuse to let other things come between you and him. There are some of you that have deep friendships. You say, I would do anything for so-and-so. I'd do anything for so-and-so. I would do anything. No one has done for you what Jesus has done. And yet we let everything come between us and him. Something wrong with that. That's why I'm saying, folks, we have relationships we've refused to do without on earth. When a relationship that we care so much about is torn away from us, we grieve and we grieve and we hurt and hurt, and rightfully so. But then we let a relationship with Jesus just slip away. Something's wrong with that. It ought to grieve your heart when you're not close to Jesus. What's wrong with someone whom their heart is not torn from them when they don't spend time with Jesus? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can know you're his disciple. And all of God's children say it. Let's pray. Father, Lord, show us Jesus. God, it's not something I can show. God, I can't give illustrations to show. I can't communicate to show, but God, you can show us you. Take the scales from our eyes, Father. Take the hardness from our heart. Take the darkness from our soul. And God, let us see Jesus. Lord, just let us see who Jesus is in his glory. And let us see Jesus, who he is in his humanity. Let us see Jesus as the Lamb of God, that God, we might worship you and praise you and treasure you and thank you. Show us Jesus, Lord. I pray, Father, for those who are here and they're still pretending, or those who are here and they're deceived, or those who are here and they want to go to heaven, but they don't have a relationship with you. But God, through your word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, God, you can change someone today. Open hearts. Change hearts. Draw us, Father. And I pray a sinner would come forward and say, Pastor, I want Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. God, move is my prayer in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, someone would say, Pastor, I want Jesus. Pastor, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I have a church membership, but I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Pastor, I prayed a prayer and I got baptized, but I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Pastor, I'm lost and I need Jesus. And I believe in Him and I trust Him. And I want Him to be my Savior and my Lord. Would you come this morning? Are there any that would come this morning and say, give me Jesus. I need Jesus. Amen. Amen.